sand and wonder, child, how many grains in hand. I'll kiss your cheek for everyone and pray you'll understand. Child, salty as the sea, I must return from whence I came. Pray you'll pardon me. Child, listen to the sea. Hear white horses dancing there. Remember this of me. Remember this. Remember this. Remember this of me.
Pete Davies from the northeast of England has released one of my favourite albums of the year so far. It is entitled Long Way Home. It's been very popular on the show. I think we played probably half a dozen songs from it now on the show. It's my great pleasure to welcome to the show today Pete Davies, who's in Florida, not the northeast of England. So I'm going to have to get you to explain that to us, Pete.
Well, I like to travel to Florida. We've been here for many years. And I wrote the last album here. So I took out about 7 or 8 weeks, came over here and wrote about, I would say, 50-60% of the album while I was here. And the plan is I'm back here again and hopefully write the next album. It's away from any pressures. Nobody's ringing me up. I can concentrate on the things that I've been thinking about for the past 12 months or so, and hopefully get the new album out from the songs that I write here. I have to say I haven't done anything yet, but I've only been here about 7 or 8 days, so just getting into the Floridian way of life at the moment.
Long Way Home is a great album, certainly one of my favourites of the year so far. And you know, it's one of the nice surprises when you do a radio show like this to hear from artists that were not on your radar at all. And you get that message and it says, hey, you know, my name's Pete. I'm from the northeast of England. I wonder if you're interested in listening to some of the songs I've been writing. And I've got to say, when I had a chance to listen to this album, I loved it from the start.
Good to hear. Thank you.
Yeah, it's been great. Yeah. Where the song we started off with was a soldier's lullaby from the album. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that song?
Yeah. I don't know if you have the same day in Canada as we have in the UK for remembering service people. 11th of November we have in the UK. And it's a day when everybody remembers fallen service men and women from conflicts all over the place. And you know, we got thinking about the Gulf War that the Brits were involved in Afghanistan and everything else that's going on. And although I'm not a supporter of war, I am a supporter of our armed forces, if you like. And I got thinking about what it must be like for a serviceman or a servicewoman who's got a young family who's back home on leave and having to explain to their children that they've got to go back again and the dangers that they're facing, but their kids are too young to understand what it's about. So it's a kind of analogy of someone on a beach, such as could be Roker Beach in Sunderland, or it could be the beach at Redcar, very close to where I live. And the soldier's got the old whelk shell you know, the thing, you put a shell to your ear and you hear the sea. So he's got that analogy. He picks those up, takes them back home, and it takes a handful of sand. And he's trying to explain to his very young children that if he doesn't come back, listen to the sea in the shell, and that will remind them of him. And all the grains of sand, every single one is a kiss from him on the cheek if he doesn't get back. So it's a kind of thought about the whole issue of war and tragedy and family upset, not just in Britain, but you know, everywhere.
Well, it's a great song, and I was really pleased to be able to play that today. I like to start these interviews, though, talking about how you got into music, because you've had an interesting life. I mean, you have your music, but you also had another career that sounded like you were very successful with. So let's start about how you got into music, and then tell us a little bit about the other career you had.
Well, family mythology says that I sang before I talked. Apparently, I was put on an old-fashioned gramophone in my cradle at a party, and there was a song called Green Door, Frankie Vaughan. I don't know if you remember that one. And apparently, the first song I ever sang was Green Door, and that was before I could talk, by all accounts. I'm sure that's not quite true, but that's the mythology. And I've always loved singing. I went through school and obviously went in the choirs and sang always in the school choir, even when it wasn't cool, you know, and that didn't bother me. I just loved singing through primary school, secondary school too. And then in the 60s, got really obsessed by the Beatles and the Searchers and the Hollies and all these great groups of that time. And then, of course, along came Bob Dylan, and that was just something that was just phenomenal. I then wanted to do Dylan songs and Donovan songs. So kind of taught myself guitar, you know, through the old-fashioned pain, blood, sweat, tears in a bedroom, learning three or four chords. And then it continued from there. And then suddenly you think, I'm going to have a go at writing a song. And you have a go, and it works. And then you have about a five-year gap, and then you write another one. And then slowly it built up from there. So music's always been a big part of my life, but my career was as a teacher. I went to college in Bradford in Yorkshire in 1972, spent 3 years there training to be a teacher and helping to run a folk club where we had everybody who was anybody at the folk club. They were the golden days of folk clubs in the UK. So then when I qualified as a teacher, I moved up to Middlesbrough in the northeast of England, ostensibly for 1 year. And then I was going to go back to Bradford maybe. But I loved it so much. I loved my job. Loved the people I met up there, people like Vin Garbutt, who you may have heard of, a big name on the folk scene, who's one of my best friends to this day. And the music scene was just absolutely incredible. And it just encouraged you to get out there and perform. So I had two things going. I'd got a kind of developing career in the folk music business and a developing career as a teacher. And they were both going really well. And it came to a point where you have to make a choice between music and teaching. And my heart said music, but my head said teaching. And I think I did it the right way around, really. So I stayed in teaching for about 37 years. The last 20 years, I was a head teacher, school principal in three different schools in a very socially deprived area to start with, and then ended up in a very socio-economic high, really. But I loved every school I worked in as a teacher and as a head teacher. So about 3 years ago, I decided, for various reasons, I'd had enough of teaching. So I left that and concentrated again on music, and I've absolutely loved it. It's been, you know, a revelation to be able to write songs, play, perform, without having to do a 12-hour day in school and then thinking about what are my priorities for tomorrow? Can I fit in 10 minutes on the guitar? You know, so now I play guitar when I want to and go to my room and try to write songs when I can.
So how many albums have you put out in your career?
Four. The first one was when I was still teaching. In fact, the first three on good old vinyl, so that tells you how long ago that was. And then the next one was just on cassette. So again, that kind of gives a chronology. And then one about 14 or 15 years ago called The Witness on CD. And that went down pretty well. But I have to say, the one I'm most proud of is Long Way Home.
They're all your own songs on that album, aren't they?
They are, yeah. On the others, they were probably about 50% of my own songs. But, it's one of these things that suddenly you develop a confidence. You think, hey, these songs are okay. With me, it took a while to have the confidence to put out an album of my own songs. But now I've got that confidence, and it seems to be working really well for me.
Do you find songwriting easy?
Sometimes. I think when you speak to most songwriters, some songs seem to just drop into your lap. They take 20 minutes. Others can take years. So some songs I find very easy, some are very difficult. And then you have a kind of golden period where within a week you've done two or three songs. And then I'll have patches for months where I can get ideas and start things that might evolve into a song or not. So yes, I do find it easy, and sometimes I find it really, really difficult. But that's the joy of it.
Now, the material you choose for the songs, my sense from The Long Way Home is that you clearly have a very strong social conscience. There's a lot of songs on that album that speak to issues of social injustice. We're going to play one just now when we talk about Rusted. But what I would like to do is to give you a chance about how you pick the material for the songs you're going to write.
In some respects, I don't think I do pick the material. The material comes to me. If I get angry about something, I'm watching the news or reading the newspaper, or something happens in my life that either upsets me or makes me angry, that's a good spur for a song. And you talk about social injustice. You know, I come from a good, strong socialist family back in Bolsover in Derbyshire. And I think that's part of my family history. So something such as, say, you're going to play Rusted. Middlesbrough, where I now live, has had a long history of steelmaking. It's called the Infant Hercules because of the strength of the Industrial Revolution, British Steel from Teesside built Sydney Harbour Bridge. You know, when you think about that, that's crazy. Build a bridge halfway around the world with steel from Britain. And then it looked as though British Steel was going to close, or the company that took it over. The men had worked there incredibly hard to make steelmaking viable on Teesside. And then along came the bean counters and decided it wasn't worth preserving. And that really annoyed me. So then, you know, within 20 minutes, a song came out about Rusted, really, which is kind of homage to the people who are grafting physically day in, day out at places like steelworks and at factories all over the world. That's how it comes about, basically.
Let's play that song just now. This is Pete Davies from the album The Long Way Home, Unrusted. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
I've been left in the rain and I'm rusted, and the very people that I trusted have me broken down and busted in the wilderness again. It's my life they've been stealing with their dirty double dealing, and they do it without feeling in the wilderness again. I could beg, steal and borrow to get me through tomorrow.
That's Pete Davies with Rusted from the album Long Way Home. Pete is my special guest today. He hails from Bolsover, which is down in Derbyshire, now lives in Middlesbrough in the northeast of England, which actually is very close to where I grew up in Sunderland. Today we're talking to him in Florida because Pete has the luxury of evidently being retired from his former career and being able to focus 100% of his time on his music career. You mentioned at the start of the interview that you're working on new songs while you're away. Any idea when we'll hear some more music from Pete Davies?
Probably a new album will be out in maybe 18 months, 2 years, but the songs will be out there being performed live before then. So if I get anything that's of broadcastable quality that I manage to record, I'll send you an MP3 file and then you get a sneak preview before anybody else.
That would be wonderful. Can you talk to us about the live experience? You mentioned Vin Garbutt's name as somebody that you got to know through the folk clubs in Northern England. I know you've shared the stage with Jez Lowe. Is there a pretty vibrant scene there for performers like yourself?
Well, there is. There's a lot of open mic nights all over the place for local singers. But the heyday of the circuit where professional singers from around the UK and around Europe and indeed from the US and Canada performing is nowhere near as strong as it used to be. In 75, when I moved to Middlesbrough, any night of the week you could go out and see a professional performer somewhere within a 10 or 15 mile radius. Now it tends to be pretty much small scale, local singers, by and large, are the main performers. So it's nowhere near as good as it used to be. Having said that around Christmas time and various peak times of the year, there might be concerts set up, such as the one I did with Jez recently and with Vin Garbutt. So there is a scene, but it's nowhere near as vibrant as it used to be. But I think that's maybe the world over.
Can I ask you about your influences? You mentioned some names at the beginning. I think Bob Dylan's name came in there, the Hollies, the Beatles, a lot of the music you were listening to as you were growing up. But who do you rank as your major influences now as a singer-songwriter in your own right?
Probably John Martin. I don't think I sound like John Martin. I don't think I play like John Martin. But of guitarists and singer-songwriters, he's the guy I've probably listened to most of all. I just loved his whole guitar playing and the kind of emotion he put into his music. So that a massive influence. But then there's the whole raft of people like, Ron Sexsmith, who I think is an incredible songwriter. Again, somebody who's really, really underrated. Why he's not a massive international star, I can't understand. And then some of the British singers, Vin Garbutt I mentioned, a great songwriter, performer, comedian, Martin Carthy, who when I was 16, I went to a folk club in Chesterfield nearby where I lived, and you know, went back to a house after and managed to play guitar with Martin Carthy and subsequently shared stages with him. Lots of the folk rocky bands like Hedgehog Pie, who were a big band in the 70s. And the beauty about the folk scene is there's so many different people who can influence you, and they're there in the background of your music, but it's not to the foreground. You know, I think people often listen to me and think I'm particularly influenced by Paul Simon because I have a fairly high register that I sing in. And yeah, Paul Simon was an influence, but not a major influence in the way that John Martin and some of the other British singers were.
You mentioned your register, the way you sing. One of the things that struck me when I first listened to the album was you have a great singing voice. And a singing voice I find that really speaks to me. I sense that we have very similar political leanings. So some of the issues you write about obviously resonates with me. But when I actually listen to your voice, I do love the way you sing. Is that something that has always been there for you? I mean, do other people comment on this as well?
Yeah. I mean, I don't like to hear myself sing. I would much rather be a Joe Cocker kind of singer, but this is a voice I've got, and it's a voice that people seem to like. I get a lot of comments about the clarity of my lyrics, and I think, well, if you're going to write songs and you're going to sing them, make sure that people can hear them, because you know, sometimes it's blood, sweat, and tears in writing those songs, so you want people to hear the lyrics. But that is just the way I sing. You know, that's the register I sing in. That's the way I've always sung. And it sounds ungrateful to say that I'm stuck with it, but that's the voice I was given, and that's the voice that I use. And it's great when people come up and say, there's a, like a, I think somebody said I've got a bell-like clarity to my singing after the gig with Jez recently. So, yeah, that's what I've got.
Can you tell us a little bit about the recording of the album Long Way Home?
It was a joy from beginning to end. Chris Johnson, who was the engineer and producer, had actually worked for me in my school. We'd had some money to have an artist in resident. We interviewed people for the job, and I wanted some young, vibrant rock god to work with the children. And Chris applied, and he turned up, and I'm not the tallest of men, but Chris is even smaller than me. He looked like a little hobbit as he came in, but he looked the rock part, and he was great. We had an absolute blast with what he did with the children. So creative, such a great musician. And I said, how about doing the next album for me? And so we tried out one track, which was Soldier's Lullaby, which we did in one take, and that's the one that's on the album. I love the sound he got, love the kind of creativity he brought out of me. And we just went from that first track. And then he brought in some musician friends of his. I brought some of my musician friends. And with his guidance, we kind of, I guess, crafted Long Way Home as an album. And it was really a joy from beginning to end. I've always found recording quite hard in the past, but I think that's because I've been trying to slot it in after school work between kind of 9 o'clock and midnight, and then up at the crack of dawn for work the next day. Well, I had the luxury of not having to do that. There was time to work on the songs, time to think about arrangements and sit back and say that works, that doesn't. And it was great. So a lot of credit should go to Chris Johnson for bringing the best out in me, I think.
What does the future hold? You mentioned that you're in Florida, you're working on songs, 18 months for a new album. Is that where you want to be?
I think so, yeah. When I get back to the UK, I've got a couple of festivals that I'm doing. So hopefully from those festivals, that starts to build up my kind of gigs back in the UK. I'd like to get back to traveling around the world. I have been to Australia in the past and done gigs with Vin Garbutt out there, and would want to get back to Australia and do a little tour. I'd love to come to Canada. I do a lot of traveling, and Canada is one of the places I absolutely love to come to. We go to Banff probably every 2 or 3 years to ski, and I love the whole ambience there. I'd love to come and do the Canmore Festival or some of the festivals anywhere. One of the great bonuses of being a singer is you get around the world, you get to meet people who are like-minded, and you meet friends who become friends for life, you know, over that shared passion about music. For goodness sake, at the moment, what we need is more and more hands across the ocean throughout the world, really. It's a bit of a troubled world, and I think the more small steps that are made between people from different countries, the better.
That's probably a great way to wrap this up. It's been great to talk to you today. If people want to learn more about your music, how can they do that?
The best way is to go to my website at www.petedavismusic.co.uk, and that's Davis with an E. So D-A-V-I-E-S. So that's probably the best way, and also to keep listening to your program.
Well, we'd love that. And hopefully one day we'll have you playing for us here. I would absolutely love that. We'll definitely have to talk about when you come to Canada, seeing if we can't do something together. We're going to finish with It's a Long Way Home, which is, I suppose, the title track from the album. And it's the first track on the album, but it was intended to be the title track, right?
To start with, we didn't know what the title track was going to be. And then after playing around with the order of where songs are going to fit, it became obvious that should be the title track, even though it's quite a slow song. Normally you want to hit people with something quite fast, but it kind of summed up some of the great musicianship that's on the album. So it wasn't a solo track. It was a mixture of me playing guitar and some other musicians. But it kind of summed up where I was at the time. You know, a little bit of nostalgia in life is good for you, I think.
Well, look, Pete, it's been great to talk to you today. This is Pete Davies with It's a Long Way Home from the album Long Way Home. That album is on Home Roots Music. And if you head to Pete's website, I'm sure he can set you up with a copy of it.
Certainly.
Great to talk to you today.
Cheers. Thanks very much, Jan.
You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Surprised at the tears in your eyes. It's a long way home. Looking for clues in familiar views. It's a long way home. There's nothing quite like the fires that burned in the hearth of the home where your lonely heart yearns. Don't be surprised at the tears in your eyes. It's a long way home. It's a long way home. Everything changed, every place rearranged. It's a long way home. Turning back time to a place that's not mine. It's a long way home. Nostalgia is not what it all used to be. There's an image of life that you no longer see. Everything changed, every place rearranged. It's a long way home. It's a long way. There's a reason and rhyme. It's a long way home. Places to be, special people to see. It's a long way home. School days long past and the clouds. classrooms and stories are hidden by ghosts of your dreams and past glories. Travel in time, there's a reason and rhyme. It's a long way home. It's a long way in your eyes. It's a long way home. Looking for clues in familiar views. It's a long way home. There's nothing quite like the fires that burned in the hearth of the home where your lonely heart yearned. Don't be surprised at the tears in your eyes. It's a long way.